This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
House taxation will come to order. I'd like to welcome everyone, including those of you who are listening on the internet, and just remind everyone to turn your devices to silent. We have not had an incident in this committee, and so let's keep that going. With that, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Chafee.
Here.
Duval.
Here.
Johnson Chris.
Here.
Johnson David. Mills.
Excused.
Just a moment. Small technical difficulty. There we go. Olson.
Here.
Pischke.
Here.
Reed.
Here.
Shane Fish.
Here.
Duba.
Here.
Ring.
Here.
Dennard.
Here.
Willardson.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. And with that, I'm sure you've all read the minutes. Is there a motion?
The minutes after thoroughly reading them.
A motion by Representative Chafee, seconded by Representative Johnson Chris to approve the minutes. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, this will be a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. We're going to introduce our pages this morning. We've got a new group of pages. So if you would like to come up to the microphone and introduce yourself and tell us where you're from and what your plans are after high school.
My name is Cassidy Keck. I go to school in Miller. I'm a senior. I live on a farm about 20 miles south. And I plan to go to SDSU next fall.
My name is Duncan Pease. I'm from Centerville, and I'm homeschooled. And after high school, I plan on working at Slumberland in Beersford.
All right. Well, welcome, and thank you for your. So if you have handouts and such, please use the pages for that part. We will take the bills in order as they appear. And so we'll get started with the first one. We've got House Bill 1141, an act to adjust certain maximum school district tax rates. And welcome, Representative Lake.
Thank you. And there is a handout going around. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I am John Lake from District 23. Today I bring you HB 1141, which adjusts the maximum capital outlay rate from $2,800 to $3,800. It's a one number change in the bill is all it does. I'm not going to give you a hard sell on this. You guys have heard a lot about the tax issues all the way through. And I'm not going to give you a background on the Blue Ribbon Task Force. I think we've been over and over that several times, or on the education funding formula. I think we've covered that pretty extensively on the floor and in several of the committees. I'm sure yours, some of the committees have heard it ad nauseum in the last couple of weeks. But what I will do is remind everybody, go back a couple of years, when we did pass the halfpenny sales tax in 2016, there were a lot of concessions that were made to get it passed. And before I go on, I want to make very clear, I'm not taking any, what the Blue Ribbon Task Force did was very good. That was a lot of hard work. There was a lot put into it. And so it was a very good thing. So I'm not taking the people that were here before that passed that to task on this at all, because it was a very hard thing to do, and I appreciate it. But it did leave a lot of holes out there for a lot of different school districts, and a lot of few problems that we've been trying to address for the last couple of years. And a couple of those deals are what that did. It brought about the equalization of revenues of certain districts, and we tried to attack that problem, or some people did. I didn't. And that affected probably, I don't know that, about a third of the school districts in the state. It negatively affected them and helped some of the other districts. Another thing was doing away with the two-year average. Averaging, that was a concept that it was part of the deal from 2 years ago, but it had a negative had negative connotations to several school districts, about a third of them, at the behest of some of the other ones that probably made out a little bit better on it. And another change, another concession that was made was putting a cap on capital outlay. Now, 1139 was a bill that we just disposed of there, and that's why this bill has been sitting on the table for so long. You guys probably could have heard it a couple, 3 weeks ago, but I've been pushing Representative Willardson to hold this off until we got done with that, and that was obviously the way we would have rather gone. But that was a bill that really kind of was more comprehensive, and it dealt with every school district in the state and could have had ramifications to taxpayers, both on the statewide and the local level. This bill today, before I go there, in aggregate, it puts some of the school districts in defensive more than others, because when I talk about the third of the school districts that were negatively affected by three or four of those concessions, it kind of ends up being the same one-third of the school districts. It's not all of them, but there's some school districts, and unfortunately in my district, there's a half a dozen of them that all three of these concessions hurt them. And so they're beat up a little bit more than the other districts are. So what this bill would do, it would also affect about one-third of South Dakota's 150 school districts. There are, if you look at your handout, the ones that are above that $2,800 limit in the capital outlay, collect, save, the one that's highlighted, you'll see there's 47 districts that are above that $2,800 threshold. So if everything stayed the same, they would have to lower their capital outlay maximum down to that $2,800. The ones in yellow are the ones that are even above the $3,800 if we pass this bill and put it up there to $3,800. Now, some of these would be grandfathered in because they do have capital outlay certificates that are out there. I don't know exactly how many of them those are affected. But if you went up to $3,800, about half of those would not have to have an opt-out to do that, is what it does. It helps about part of those. Why $3,800? Well, why $2,800? I guess that's the argument. When I've tried to find out, and maybe somebody on this committee or somebody back here can find out when it was passed, it didn't seem like there was any scientific method that they decided on $2,800. It could have been $3,000, could have been $4,000. It was just a number. What this $3,800 would do, it would just give some of those smaller school districts just another tool in their toolbox and give them another flexibility before they had to go to the opt-out route. So if I used, like, say, an Ipswich, for example, when all this stuff is said and done, all the concessions they made, they're going to be about a $600,000 shortfall from what they were before everything was put into place. This wouldn't solve that problem, but if they have about 200 kids there, it would give them the opportunity to raise their capital outlay by about $1,000 per student. So it's only $200,000, and only 45% of that could go toward their general fund. The rest of it would have to stay in capital outlay. So it wouldn't solve their problem, but it would just give them a little bit of flexibility to work out their problems at the local level. Once again, this has nothing to do with state funding. We wouldn't have to appropriate any more money. It's just trying to give the local school districts a little more flexibility to work through some of these problems that, well, once again, have been created, but by a very well-intentioned and a very good bill from 3 years ago. So, like I said, I don't want to spend a lot of time. I know I am giving kind of a soft sell on it because we've been through this so much, but So with that, I would stand by for questions. And I would appreciate you moving, this forward at least to kind of see how everything else plays out. If we could at least get it to the floor, see how a couple of the other things play out here in the next day or two as we get closer to crossover day. There's still some question marks. Just, I would appreciate just keeping the bill alive, to get it to the floor and maybe even get it to the Senate, and we'll, see how things play out. With that, I will stand by for questions.
All right. Thank you, Representative Lake. Is there further proponent testimony for House Bill 1141? Oh, so we have a new testifier. Sir, do you have a badge?
I'm here testifying on behalf of myself. I do. It's in my office. I haven't made it that far. Everything on there is pretty close to accurate anyway. Representative Spencer Gosch, District 23, Glenham, South Dakota. I'm here testifying in favor of this bill. We saw the attempt that we made to make things a little bit easier on schools and to allow a little bit more local control. This isn't exactly the angle I wanted to go in the first place, but I think it's a great compromise. We saw what the bill had done on the floor. We had heard it multiple times, and we had lost by only a small margin multiple times. I think this bill is a lot easier to swallow for much of the legislature, and I would love to see this or hear this testimony on the floor. I would appreciate you guys doing that for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Gosch. Other proponent testimony? Right. Welcome, sir.
Good morning, Representatives. Tyler Bickner, Associated School Boards of South Dakota. ASBSD supports House Bill 1141, and we want to thank Representative Link and Representative Gosch for their support in providing financial flexibility in the Capital Outlay Fund for school boards. House Bill 1141 provides for that financial flexibility, as Representative Lake said, for school boards in their capital outlay fund. These additional dollars that this bill would allow for school boards to utilize in their planning is a benefit to the budgetary process for school boards, and potentially, as Representative Lake pointed out, helps them avoid having to utilize an opt-out. And for that, we ask that you support this bill. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pickner. Is there other proponent testimony for House Bill 1141? Anyone else wish to speak as a proponent? Seeing none, we'll close proponent testimony and open to opponent testimony. Those wishing to speak against it. Welcome, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Matt Flett, Director of Finance and Management, Department of Education. I ask you to join the Governor's Office and the Department of Education in opposing this bill. House Bill 1141 is a property tax increase for the taxpayer of South Dakota. The bill will remove the $2,800 per student cap and insert a $3,800 cap in the Capital Outlay Fund that is scheduled to be put in place starting with pay 2021. Under current statute, property owners in 74 school districts will benefit from further property tax relief. Passage of this bill will put that property tax relief in jeopardy for 26 of those 74 school districts. I heard the question, why was $2,800 selected? Kind of give you a little background. So for pay 19, the current tax year we're in, the per student revenue that can be generated in Capital Outlay Fund is $2,017.25. So this bill allows school districts in pay 2021 to generate $2,800 per student. So even more they can do now. Plus, in last year's session, they amended 1316.7.2, and what that did is the school districts that were maybe going to be impacted by $2,800 cap that had capital outlay certificates and long-term debt, that is going to be added to the $2,800. So if you have a $100,000 capital outlay certificate payment, they will take that $100,000, and then the $2,800 will be on top of that. So we have made the compromise last session of the debt payments, and that is kind of on its own segregated cell, and then $2,800 on top of that. So we've accommodated that. So lastly, this piece of legislation is a property tax increase. Like Representative Lake said, I'm not going to talk too much on this. We've heard a lot about capital outlay this session. We support a no vote on House Bill 1141. Let's keep the package together that came out of Blue Ribbon Task Force. And with that, I'll stand by for questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Fleck. Further opponent testimony for House Bill 1141. Welcome, Mr. Held.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Michael Held, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Farm Bureau. We rise in opposition to 1141 for two reasons. One, it's a property tax increase above and beyond the normal increases, and I'll get into that a little later, particularly for ag land. And second, we think it takes back some of the 2016 package, which was a big deal for our members. There were some concessions made on all sides to put the package together. The two main parts, obviously, you realize, were increasing teacher salary and then about a third of the money for property tax relief, $36 million for property taxpayers in all three classes of property. 1141 takes quite a bit of that property tax relief back. Says, sorry, taxpayers, we really didn't mean that you were going to give you relief for very long. Here we are 3 years later. We're going to take some of that back. We don't think that's appropriate. In 2019, statewide, the average of capital outlay taxation per student was $2,017. So the $2,800 cap, I don't think was arbitrary as it's been described. It was resolved at or resulted from considerable discussion of where to set that levy. Increasing it by another $1,000 makes it almost twice as much as the present state average, and that will allow taxation, additional taxation. I would refer to Representative Lake's handout. If you look at the colored districts, the districts that have the two shadings, you will see with me that almost all of them are rural districts where ag land makes up 75, 80, 90% of the total value in the school district. I want to point out to you that the general education levy for ag land is $1.51 this year, $1.51 a thousand. The rate is higher on owner-occupied and on commercial property. In 120 of 149 districts, the capital outlay tax is higher than $1.50. So in essence, taxpayers, ag land owners in 129 school districts today pay more capital outlay taxes than they do general school levy. And House Bill 1141 would allow that to go on up from the present level. Lastly, you've read lots of stories about net farm income the past year. 2018 was the third lowest net farm income in 20 years. Third lowest in 20 years. Went down 12% from what it was in 2017. The decline for 2019 is predicted to be someplace in that neighborhood again. Net farm income has declined 46% since 2013. 46% less net farm income. Farmers and ranchers realize the dollars to pay increased property taxes from net farm income, and that's why we resist the bill. There is not the net farm income to pay more than they're presently paying. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Held. And please stand by if there's any questions. Further opponent testimony for House Bill 1141. Welcome.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Brenda Foreman, and I'm registered lobbyist for South Dakota Cattlemen's Association. And first, and it's kind of fun to follow Mr. Held, because I can say ditto. Our concerns with 1141 is it does change the agreement that we made in terms of potential property tax relief when we helped and agreed to passing the bill, the increase for teachers' pay and those types of things. And we continue to support that and know that there might be concerns and maybe a different way to look at it. But moving up to $2,800 does provide an automatic increase in taxes. And as Mr. Held noted, in the areas that are challenged, it is a lot of agriculture land. And we do have concerns about our ability to pay, and the farm income has greatly changed. So with that, we'd ask for your opposition of 1141. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Foreman. Other opposition testimony on House Bill 1141. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition House Bill 1141? All right, seeing none, we'll close the opposition testimony, and we would offer the sponsor a short rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, a couple things. I am a farmer and rancher. I pay a lot of taxes back in my school district, and I get reminded of that by my neighbors. It's a tough situation. I understand what the opposition testimony is about, but I also have schools there that are getting strangled. They're starving. They just need some kind of help to kind of get out of their dilemma. And once again, we're not raising taxes. We're just letting the local school boards have a little bit of more leeway to raise it locally before they have to go to the opt-out, which is probably what some of them will do. So point well taken. As far as the 2017, the $2,800 not being arbitrary, I appreciate that because that's the first time that I heard that was based on any certain number. I've asked a lot of questions about that, found that out. But once again, it's on a state average. I look, I'll pick on myself. I look around here and on average, everybody's in pretty good shape, you know, doesn't need to lose weight. Well, I'll go home and tell my wife that I don't need to lose any weight because on average, this room is doing pretty dang good. She's not going to go for that. On average, I need to lose 20, 30 pounds. So just because on average, the state sits pretty well, there's some school districts that aren't sitting very well at all. And that's the point of this bill. That just trying to help some of these smaller school districts that are their backs up against the wall, just to buy them a little more time before they have to start moving down that. So with that, I would stand by for questions, and I would appreciate your positive vote.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Lake. With that, we'll close the public testimony and open to committee questions. Any questions of the committee? Representative Pischke.
Question for Representative Gosch.
This goes through the chair, remember.
I'm well aware. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you please elaborate on what the differences are in your estimation between 1139 and 1141?
Representative Gosch, do you wish to answer the question?
Besides the obvious of the 3,000 mill levy and the 38.
I do. Thank you. Representative Wilson. So, if I can clarify, do you want me to sell one over the other right now? Is that what you're looking for?
Mr. Chair, sell this one.
Okay.
And explain the differences.
All right. So on the previous bill with the three mill levies, the 1139 that we had heard, we were looking at leaving it where it's at. It's their flexibility at the three mills would be the cap. That would give them the opportunity to roll with the punches. Every school district is different. Some have larger land masses, some don't. I argue that with the 3 mill levy, the consolidation factor is actually appealing because you increase land masses, you could spread your tax, your expenses across many. With this number, it would be a lot less burdensome on most of the school districts. You got to remember, the law says 2,800 or 3 mills, basically, whichever's lower. We're not taking the 3 mills out. So if a school can't get to 3,800 without and hits that 3 mills cap, they're still stuck. So there's going to be schools, even at 3,800, that aren't going to be able to go any higher because they hit the 3 mills. They did not remove that from statute. So So some school districts, especially rural school districts, this is going to help. And I would argue that the rural school districts are really in a bind right now. But it does apply to all school districts. So in a way, most school districts will see a benefit from this. It allows more flexibility and local control for locally elected officials.
Representative Pischke, follow-up? Okay, other questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Reed.
Question for Representative Lake. 45% of the capital outlay can go into operating funds, correct?
Mr. Chair, yes, I believe that is correct.
So do you think that the funds that the schools are looking for, or what you've heard from them, the knowledge you've, when you've been talking to them, do they need this money so they can get that 45% into operating, or is it more about actual capital needs?
Representative Lake.
Mr. Chairman, thanks for the question, Representative Reed. I think it's both. I mean, I really do. I think it's both. Most of the ones that I have talked to, yes, they will use that. They are actively using the capital outlay assessment to fill in the gaps on their general funds. So, yes, I do think that is probably the case in most situations, but it's both ways. They're trying to fill gaps any way they can as innovatively as they can. I hope that answers your question.
Representative Reed, does that answer your question? Okay. Nothing further? Other questions from the committee? Representative Olson, state your question.
Matt, would you come up here? I just would like to dive down a little into clarifying capital outlay, and I did have a quick question on that. How are schools supposed to use capital outlay?
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Fleck, and if you'd please identify yourself again for the people on the internet.
Matt Fleck, Director of Finance Management, Department of Education. Capital outlay was created in its basic sense to pay for the acquisition of land, buildings, vehicles, property, repair of those facilities, so capital projects in that manner.
Okay.
Representative Olson, a follow-up?
So of the schools that are above the 2,800, do you think they're using it in that way, or are they pushing money to subsidize it in order to avoid an opt-out?
Thank you. Mr. Check.
There are a number of school districts that are using the 45% flexibility from capital outlay to general fund to fund general operations, and I can't make an assumption for every school district, but by allowing that flexibility, you would think it would cut down the number of opt-out votes that would be referred to the public because of this flexibility.
Representative Olson, does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Further questions from the committee? Any other questions? All right. Seeing none, we will close the public testimony and open to committee discussion and or action. Okay, guys, this is where you talk.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shane Fish.
I move to pass.
We have a motion do pass by Representative Shane Fish, seconded by Representative Ring. Discussion on that motion, Representative Shane Fish.
Well, I say this shows once again that no matter how much we might try to claim that everything is working fine with the new formula and all the changes from 2016, it is clearly not. One of the things that I don't know if I want to say was done right, but something that might have given a little help to the schools with 131 in 2016 was going up from 25% to 45% in the flexibility. Because what they've had to deal with since then is many schools have lost their other revenue. And yes, when it becomes part of your local effort, you lose dollar for dollar state aid. So yes, they do lose that money. They also lost the ability to two-year average, which was helpful if they were losing students. They generally get state aid per how many students they have, which might make more sense in the general fund, but when you're going to the capital outlay fund, your structures, your buildings, those expenses don't really fluctuate based on how many students you have. I don't think it's logical to have a per student limit in the capital outlay fund. And then on top of things, you might hear, well, they should just opt out instead of using capital outlay. Well, in 2016, we put what I would argue was an irrational cap on how much you could keep in your general fund. So schools are spending down money that they maybe could have used to alleviate some of the pain they've been feeling from some of these effects. So I'd say at this point, maybe the least we could do is pass this bill and, at least in this particular fund, give them a little more flexibility to raise some money.
Okay, further discussion on the Shanefish motion do pass.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ring.
Since I promised an encore to the one-armed economist comment yesterday, I just want to say that some people say if all economists were laid end to end, they couldn't reach a conclusion. It's not as good as yesterday's, but hey, there is a reason that I use that particular comment, because the sponsor of this bill on the other side is the other economist on the in the legislature, and I want to show that we do in fact agree on a lot of things. including this one. I certainly would support this bill. A lot of the reasons I have already been presented, but I do want to just emphasize that what this is showing, and this is a great handout. I wish I'd seen it. I haven't seen something like this until now, and I think it really shows the situation. But as has already been brought out here, a lot of districts need the capital outlay fund to use it for general fund purposes, which means what we're doing, one, is we're underfunding general funded part of education, and two, we're setting up a situation where we're moving more and more of the funding away from the equalization formula. And if equal opportunity is important, then we need to be equalizing the revenues, the resources available to the different districts. And what we're doing here is really providing an out for that, so that, one, all the different classes of property are being assessed at the same rate under the general fund or under an opt-out. And two, we're not adjusting for the unequal, really what's ultimately unequal opportunity there. I think this just illustrates again the inadequate funding of education, as well as a lot of other things in this state, and shows that we really need to do something significant. This is a nice compromise, I agree. It's a nice temporary fix for a lot of the districts, but we have a lot more to do. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Ring. Further discussion on the Shanefish motion do pass. Representative Olson.
I think I can certainly appreciate that the schools that were discussed are facing some challenges. I think, however, when we talk about the fair application of things, and we didn't vote to take away the CPI, and I don't believe this does, but because that's an equal and fair application of it. That was a missing piece previously. But the number of 2,800 was based on double the previous average. I understand that doesn't fit everybody, but there are other mechanisms already in place. So if we pass this saying, well, because the schools don't want to use the mechanisms in place, which are opt-outs, and they don't want to ask their school districts for that, so we're going to give them this workaround, is that appropriate? And I would argue that's probably not the appropriate way to go. So I would ask you to vote no on the do pass. If we need to find another option or support schools as they look at opting out, that's one thing. But finding a workaround, it doesn't seem like the right answer. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion on the do pass motion. Representative Chafee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Comment. I have to agree with you 100% on that. Taxes are kind of an ugly thing. I don't know how many of these school aid formulas that I've sat through, and it takes you years to really learn them and how they work. But one thing has always been consistent in the school aid formula. Nobody liked them. We're going to find winners and losers. There's always some school that got hurt. There's other schools that made money at it. And if you're looking for perfection, you're going to be really unhappy through this process because it isn't going to happen. Doesn't mean that we should stop trying. Absolutely not. But I think it has to be more comprehensive. I've seen bills this session where we kind of chip here and chip there, but we really don't address the problem. If we're going to fund school, let's go all in and fund school. If not, let's get the hell out of the game. Sorry. I come from a county that's was over two million acres in size. It's about a three-quarters of $1 billion worth of assessment, and I've seen the taxes go up 300% since 2010. So I'm very sensitive to anything that you're changing the mill levies on this because it has real impact, and that's what this bill in its present form right now, without that comprehensive look at it, I think that's what that this does or has the opportunity to do. And for that reason, I'm going to vote no for it.
Okay, further discussion on the do pass motion. All right, seeing none, the motion on the floor is do pass on House Bill 1141. Those in favor will say aye, those opposed nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Chafee?
No.
Duval?
No.
Johnson Chris?
No.
Johnson David? Mills?
No.
Olson?
No.
Pischke?
No.
Reed?
No.
Shane Fish?
Aye.
Duba?
No.
Ring?
Aye.
Dennert?
No.
Willardson?
No.
Mr. Chair, we have 2 yeas, 10 nays, 1 excused.
With that vote, the do pass motion fails. Further discussion from the committee.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dennert.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I would move 41st day.
Okay, we have a motion to the 41st day by Representative Dennert, seconded by Representative Chafee. Comments on your motion, Representative Dennert? Any other discussion on the motion to the 41st day? Seeing none, the motion is to the 41st day for House Bill 1141. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Chafee?
Aye.
Duval?
Aye.
Johnson Chris?
Aye.
Johnson David? Mills?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Pischke?
Aye.
Reed? Shane Fish?
No.
Duba?
Aye.
Ring?
No.
Dennert?
Aye.
Willardson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 10 yeas, 2 nays, and 1 excused.
With that, House Bill 1141 moves to the 41st day. Continuing with our calendar, we move to House Bill 1223, an act to modify the distribution of taxes on concentrated animal feeding operations. Welcome, Representative Peterson.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Kent Peterson, State Representative of District 19. At this time, I'd respectfully ask you to table House Bill 1223.
Okay, pretty succinct testimony. Representative Reed.
Second.
We have a motion to table by Representative Reed, seconded by Representative Pischke. That's a non-debatable motion. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Aye. Representatives Chafee.
Aye.
Duvall.
Aye.
Johnson Chris.
Aye.
Johnson David. Mills.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Pischke.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Duba.
Aye.
Ring.
Aye.
Dennert.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 12 yeas, 0 nays, and 1 excused.
With that, House Bill 1223 is tabled. Committee, that brings us to the end of our calendar for today. I do have a couple things for you. In our calendar of bills, we have one bill left that was assigned on Tuesday. I've forgotten the name, the number on it. Senate Bill 86. What my intent is to wait until crossover day and determine if there are any other Senate bills that come across that are assigned to the tax committee. As you know, I'm not a big fan of having a meeting just to have a meeting. So I think we will wait and see what other bills might come to the committee, and then we will post a meeting to dispose of those as we see fit on there. We've got, after today, we have 5 potential meeting dates left. So we will have one more meeting for bills, and then we'll have one meeting either one of the last 2 days, March 7th or March 12th, to, you know, finish the final work of the committee for that part. So that part of it is my intent on the meetings for that. Any questions? Representative Duvall.
You mentioned something about a dog and pony show on Wednesday.
Getting to that.
Thank you.
Thank you for reminding me. The page is handing out the questionnaire from the speaker. You heard the speaker talk about it. He is looking to gather information about your committee experience, some of the things that you liked or didn't like about the committee. Some of the things that you noted that you would want to have future tax committees be aware of. So I would ask that you fill out the questionnaire on your own schedule and then turn it in directly to the speaker so that he can, you know, gather that information for his purposes on there. Then, as Representative Duvall mentioned, next Wednesday, which is February 27th, I've been working with the Department of Revenue, and they've graciously agreed to, you know, put on a presentation on all of the sales tax exemptions. So if you've ever wondered why we have advertising or what the amount is for the advertising exemption that we do, or agriculture, or there's lots and lots of exemptions. Please plan to attend. I can't require you to attend, but I can strongly encourage you to attend. So that meeting will be in room 414, the big room. And it'll be on Wednesday, February 27th, just immediately after session is done with that part. So, Representative Duba, I assure you it will not be at 9 o'clock at night. Crossover day is Monday. That's why we chose to put this meeting after crossover day. I would think we would probably be done around the 3:30 time frame, so that we would start at about then. So again, I'd encourage you all very much to put that on your calendar and attend that meeting. Any other questions or procedures before? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Representative Chafee has moved to adjourn, seconded by Representative Dennert. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. We are adjourned.